K. Jackson, Milwaukee's Real News and Great Conversation, a Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump is threatening to slap new tariffs on nations that buy Russian oil and gas if the Kremlin doesn't reach a ceasefire with Ukraine in 50 days. CBS's Remy Innocencio.
More than a dozen countries could face these 100% secondary tariffs on their exports to the U.S. We're talking about things with energy ties, farming ties.
There are calls for an investigation into the National Park Service response to a wildfire that tore through the Grand Canyon after it was allowed to burn for days. Thomas Sulpizio is president of the Grand Canyon Historical Society.
All we saw was billowing clouds of smoke, and the apprehension started to build.
June's Consumer Price Index will be released in moments. CBS's Jason Brooks.
Tariffs have had little effect on inflation data so far in 2025, but the Fed is anticipating those impacts to start showing up in the summer inflation readings.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
WAUK News brought to you by the Summer Splash Dog Show at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to July 27th. Fun for the whole family. WaukeshaSummerSplash.com.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Shali Pittman. Two Milwaukee parents are facing felony charges after their four-year-old son was fatally shot. The father is charged with first-degree intentional homicide, while his mother faces charges of child neglect resulting in death and the purchase of an illegal firearm. Police say the shooting happened inside the family's home. The couple's 10-year-old son told investigators the father had a history of domestic violence and had made threats earlier that day. Both parents appeared in court yesterday. A recent study finds a link between a state's weak gun laws and firearm deaths for kids. The study was published last month in the pediatrics edition of the Journal of the American Medical Association. It looked at gun-related deaths for kids and teens from 2010 to 2023. Researchers compared states based on the strictness of their gun laws. They picked the year 2010 after a Supreme Court ruling that year expanded gun rights in some states. They found that states with weaker gun laws, like Wisconsin, saw an increase in firearm deaths for youth. States with stricter laws saw those deaths stay the same or go down. Democrats and their allies are taking another shot to redraw Wisconsin's congressional maps ahead of midterms next year. That's after the state Supreme Court recently tossed a similar challenge without giving an explanation. The Wisconsin Examiner reports that a new lawsuit is being filed in Dane County. It argues the current congressional maps are an unconstitutional gerrymander. If successful, the case could improve Democrats' chances to unseat two Republicans, Representatives Derek Van Orden and Brian Stile, who represents Racine, Kenosha, and Southeast Wisconsin. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Shali Pittman.
The All-Star Game tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Midsummer Classic. The All-Star Game in Atlanta. The Brewers rookie pitcher, Jacob Mizorowski, is there. Likely get to pitch in the sixth or seventh inning. That's according to National League manager Dave Roberts. Now, some teams have complained the Miz doesn't belong in the All-Star Game after just five career starts. What did his teammates say?
They were all thrilled about it, and they're happy for me. Yeah, no, it's been the world for the guys to be around me and support me how they have. It's been awesome.
Basketball. Doc Rivers says ignore the reports on ESPN. Rivers says he met with Giannis Antetokounmpo right after the season ended against the Pacers.
Giannis came in to me the day after the season. We're talking about next season already. You know, there's far more talk outside of Milwaukee than there is inside of Milwaukee. Giannis loves Milwaukee. We love Giannis, and it's been a great relationship.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
It is going to be sunny and humid today. Our high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop to around 71. And then tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun with scattered showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. And tomorrow night, our high tomorrow in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
Bring the whole family to the Waukesha Kennel Club's Summer Splash Dog Shows at the Waukesha County Fairgrounds, July 25th to 27th. Enjoy exciting events like dock diving, fast cat racing, obedience, and the thrilling Best of Show competition. It's fun for all ages. Check out the vendors and find the best pet supplies for your furry friends. It's the perfect weekend for dog lovers and families alike. Sponsored by Royal Canin at 540 AM WAUK. Visit WaukeshaSummerSplash.com for all the details.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At the top of the show, I'll be joined by former U.S. attorney and host of Amicus, Jim Santel. We'll discuss the big takeaways of the last term of the Supreme Court.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to 540 WAUK, Waukesha's home for mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. Welcome back. 8:06. Nice to have you along on this Tuesday, July 15th, 2025. Producer Parker Olson standing by, and Madison A2, Brittany Merlot, Chad Holmes all coming up. Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and founder of the Recombobulation Area, will join us at the bottom of the hour. And we have a long list of items to talk about, including a candidate for governor making a six-figure ad buy already for the governor's race next year. Meanwhile, a sitting state Supreme Court justice has raised $0 in the last reporting period for her potential reelection next year. That and so much more to discuss with Dan Schaefer along the way. But first, let's talk about Chad Holmes and the problem with Chad Holmes. Chad was off last week. I had a poker tournament in Vegas. One of these, when he gets off mute, he's going to tell us all about after Brittany's forecast. But here's the thing. He hasn't posted anything from Vegas for days and days. And then he didn't show up here until 6 seconds before the opening theme began. So up until 6 seconds before the theme, I didn't know if this guy had already lost his shirt, lost his mortgage, lost an arm. I don't know what, but he's here and allegedly has some stories to tell us that he did not want to share prior to now. Mr. Holmes, I see two arms. I see you without any bruises. I hope you have good stories to tell us after Brittany's forecast, maybe.
Maybe. I the point was not that I was hiding anything, but I had actually thought I wanted to be off of social media for a little bit.
That's good. That's good a good call. Thing.
Yeah. I think everybody seems to think that everybody needs to know everything, and it's like, who needs?
No,
and there was nothing, and there was nothing exciting. So, but there was, I still enjoyed myself. But I can fill in the gaps.
That's fine. But it's like in the movie Christmas Vacation. I mean, when you get used to an end of the year bonus, and then finally you don't get it, there's something wrong. So when you're posting like every hand, and then you just stop. It's good to get off the grid, but without any warning that you're jumping off the grid, I'm over here going, oh my God, what has happened to Chad? This is not. So welcome back, buddy.
I'm glad you care, because it never occurred to me that anybody would think that, boy, I sure do need a posting from Chad Holmes.
I did. I was missing. I told you last week, I really liked those things before you left. So, all right. So Chad is here, and we'll have details on his Vegas poker trip right after we get an updated forecast from Brittany Merlot, whose forecast is as hot as Chad was hoping his hands would be in Vegas last week, or maybe hotter.
Yeah, you'll have to see which one's hotter. It's going to get warm and muggy today. I mean, we're already feeling it. The humidity is high. Temperatures are in the mid-60s to mid-70s across the state. We're also looking at a moderate air quality out there. So a little bit of wildfire smoke still lingering, but it is going to be a bright, beautiful, summery day. I'm talking upper 80s to low 90s, and that humidity is going to be making it feel more like the low to mid 90s all across the state. So my hair is already frizzed out. Ladies, it's going to be that kind of day, obviously. But of course, stay hydrated, keep cool. As we go into tomorrow, the heat will leave the northern part of the state, but it is going to stay stuck for a majority of central and southern areas, as we have a stalled front right now into way northwestern areas. Actually, near Rice Lake, Spooner, and Hayward, you're already seeing some thunderstorms this morning. They just sparked up, little surprise ones out there. I didn't think they would start so early, but we are looking at that risk along that front today, really ramping up at about 4, and then that could move into the Eau Claire, Wausau area late tonight, maybe around 9 or 10 or so. But the Storm Prediction Center has put out a slight risk for severe weather, which is about a 2 out of 5 on the severe scale. We're looking at damaging wind gusts are possible. Of course, far, far northern Wisconsin today, and a tornado too. So stay weather savvy. We've got a lot of instability and moisture in the atmosphere, and we are looking at heavy rainfall too, where another 1 to 2 inches could fall. So some flash flooding risks. And again, this area is pretty much from Rice Lake to Phillips to Eagle River and north in the state. And then by tomorrow, that front works its way south. And then the risk turns into central Wisconsin and towards Madison and Milwaukee area. But again, that's tomorrow afternoon for you. Everybody else in the state, you're just hot and humid today.
So again, if you're in an area that is heavy with it has more campers and campgrounds than it has, ties to broadcast stations, you're going to want to keep that Civic Media station or app handy for the latest developments and not have something sneak up on you when you're on the lake or out in the woods.
Absolutely. Very important.
Brittany, thank you so much. Have a great day.
You too.
All right. Let's turn now toward Mr. Holmes's Las Vegas adventure and find out. Well, let's see. Let's start from the beginning, Chad, shall we? The World Series of Poker and the unfortunate attempt to get going on it. And we took note of your post about, dealing with banks from afar.
That was fun.
Not fun. No. And that you were having trouble getting the funds that you did have, get them transferred properly for the entry fee. And if it wasn't going to work out, you're going to have to work on some other poker tournaments instead. So what was the general overview of Chad, the poker playing Vegas tourist last week?
Well, the first aspect was, it is what it is. I've never taken out that much money from my bank account, so yeah. I guess they thought there was something wrong. And and the first time it was on the 4th, and there was nobody there to pick up the phone on the 4th, so I was sort of stuck there. So then I tried again on the 5th. I called them up. Everything was all set. I went and tried to sign up. Had an issue again. And then it was like the bank said it must be on their end. And then the casino said, no, it must be on the bank's end. And then there was a third-party operator, which apparently the bank works with to kind of help as well. And I could not get to talk to a human being. That was kind of a frustrating aspect. It's like you call up their number, and there was no way to talk to a human being. So it's like, well, basically they say too bad. And I guess I found out something that many people go through in this era of wonderful technology is when you don't have an opportunity to talk to a human being, some problems can continue. And that was actually the most frustrating aspect of it, was that I had gone through the first two and I actually talked to a human being. They said everything is fine. But this third party operator, who apparently does not have any live people answering customer phone calls, and then I was not able to be in the tournament I wanted to be in, which was the main event. So it was a little frustrating.
Oh, understandably so. So how did you switch things up? What did you end up doing?
I then just played in a couple of smaller tournaments, which is great, within the WSOP. But I just had no good luck. And it's not about complaining, because sometimes you have good luck, sometimes you have bad luck. But in my first tournament, I mean, early on, I get pocket aces. And actually, that scares me, because I don't want to get knocked out early in the tournament. But when you have pocket aces, it's the best hand you can possibly have. So you raise. But then the guy next to me raised again. And then I raised. And then he raised. And then I raised. And then we're all in. I'm all in. And he's got kings. I got aces. I'm in great shape. But there's always that opportunity that he could luck out and knock me out. And that's what happened. It was a disappointing aspect. So then I played in another tournament the next day. And this time I lasted a while. It was sort of a struggle, but I was doing well, I thought, and, you know, staying alive. And then finally I got this hand of kings. And I raise, and then the guy goes all in, and I go all in, and he has an ace king. So I'm in great shape again. Mm-hmm. But then, boom, he gets an ace, and I'm out again. So it was one of those, you know, trips where I had bad luck. And the thing is, the way I look at it, I would love to have good luck, but I really just don't want bad luck. And back-to-back days, I had bad luck. And then I did make a little money playing some blackjack. So then I played some cash poker, which I gave my blackjack money away. So in the end, it was what it was. It was fun. It was not as exciting as last year when I made the run, but it was nice to get away. And it's also nice to be back. And one of the nice things you realize when you're away for a little while, it's really nice to get back as well. So
yeah. Yeah. Did you, I mean, especially when you didn't have to pony up that big entry fee. I know some of us on social media encouraged you to do something really nice with the savings. Maybe Wayne Newton was having a meet and greet or something. Did you get to do anything fun away from the casino?
No, I go out there to play. I go out there to gamble. Okay. If you always say that, well, and also, I don't rent a car, so I'm kind of limited on where I go.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've made that mistake where every casino along the strip, every hotel, looks like it's right next door. It is not right next door, and it's the desert. I mean, yeah, you're in a busy city, but those are long, hot walks. If you're going, oh, I'll just go from, you know, the Bellagio to the Luxor or whatever. It's like you quickly learn, like, no, that what they need in Vegas are like those habit trails. For gerbils, you know, they need more underground trails going to all these places.
Well, they have a monorail, which
they do.
I used the monorail to get all up and down the strip. But the one show I would love to have gone to was Penn and Teller, because I saw them like 20 years ago. Love Penn and Teller. And but they're off the strip. You know, they really.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
And I wasn't going to grab a Uber. I've never been on an Uber, so maybe I should do that sometime. I don't know.
It's easy enough, you know.
But that was the one I was thinking about doing, and I think at some point I would love to do that again, because I was just blown away by them. But it was hot. I tell you that it is hot out there. You go in the summertime, people say, why would you go to Vegas in the summer? Well, it's because that's when the WSOP is. It is hot, and I think that's one reason they do it, is that it gets tourism in during the hottest time of the year. And but it is just doggone hot. But
it is. Yeah. But I'm glad you had a good time. So you will try again next year.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And I hope to play the main next year.
This time you're bringing a briefcase with you.
Well,
filled with cash.
I'm going to go figure things. I'm actually curious. I should try to get back on the phone to that third party operator. But that's just, you know, that's the thing that just drives me nuts. It's like,
oh, of course.
And they always have the computer voice, and they say, well, try to explain what you want, what the problem is. And then I would try to, and then they would try to, you know, figure it out. Then if I say, I want to talk to somebody, we don't understand that. I said, I want to talk to an operator.
Yeah.
Well, I don't understand that. You're going to have to
Representative.
You're going to have to try again later. It's like,
We didn't leave
technology.
We didn't leave much time to talk about the stories that you're following there at 98.9 WXCO in Wausau, which is fine because it just lets me share the one thing and take issue with the way that it's framed. This from the Wausau Pilot and Review. Yeah. The village of Kronenwetter will again take up the issue of removing fluoride from its drinking water during a public meeting this week as sharp debate continues among residents and public health experts nationwide. No. No, it's not as sharp debate continues. Debate makes it sound like there can be, an honest disagreement between the two. Or, hear me out, Chad, you could go with science and not the people wearing tinfoil. Well, just me. You know?
And people should check out the story, because basically it's framed that way. You got one part of the debate is science and the other quackery.
Well, we heard this, and so we don't want this fluoride protecting us in our water. Fluoride, one of the best public health measures of our time. in terms of oral health. But anyway, you go ahead and debate, quote unquote, that Cronin weather. Chad Holmes from 98.9 WXEO, thank you as always. Glad you're back safe. Enjoy.
Thank you, Pat.
When we are all back together in our next half hour, we'll be talking to Dan Schaefer. A local update is next for some of you here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
A voice for real news and great conversation in Milwaukee. 540 WAUK.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans and their families. Please visit WISVets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it, and we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed us. Just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie, and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. If you've lived in or around the city of Milwaukee, you will be quite aware about the idea of the People's Flag. It was a controversial thing that took place a few years ago. There was a hearing, there was a vote, and then a flag sort of became the flag of Milwaukee. But I'm here to tell you that the controversy has not died down, it's not gone away, and it's certainly not been solved, as the city has not only taken up the effort again to replace its existing flag, but now it feels like it's an increased effort, which prompted Jane and I to ask the question, is this a pressing matter for Brew City?
I did want to talk about this. This came out a couple of weeks ago, but it still makes me laugh. From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Sophie Teige, with the article, the saga of Milwaukee's official flag.
Oh, God.
Could be entering its final chapter. This has been the longest, most drawn out thing of little to no consequence in recent history, right?
It is such... to tell the whole story would take way too much time. It is so... I think it's embarrassing.
That they can't get it done?
Well, not even that. That the fact that this even happened in the first place. Because it was so mishandled from the beginning. And...
mishandled because they didn't get enough opinions, or how was it mishandled?
Well, one thing, they didn't get enough opinions.
Okay.
And there was no, like, real movement to actually change it. They were like, we're going to try to get some new flag designs. And like, well, are we changing the flag?
Like, this was not a well thought out plan from the jump. The fact that this is still happening, and I'm sorry, I don't like the quote unquote people's flag.
You don't like the sunrise over the lake?
I like the design, but I don't like everything behind it because I think it really just shows a sense of, I don't know, like it, the amount of people they asked to vote for this was a very, very small percentage. It wasn't even, I think, 1% of the population, or it was, I think it was 1% plus of the population Milwaukee voted on this. Okay. And the people who fly the flag, to me, it just feels like it's a thing like, this is our flag. Well, no, it's not. You didn't. This is not a flag of the people. It's not even the people's flag. It's your flag. You chose it. And now you think you're, now the city is awash in this image. Like anyone who's everyone has some form of this flag, some variation on that theme. And I think it just speaks deeply to what Milwaukee's trying to make themselves into eventually. Being cool and hip.
Well, who doesn't want to be cool and hip?
But then you invite, and then you invite all the people. You make the process inclusive.
Well, it's inclusive now. There's like 400 people on this board. Okay, I might slightly be overstating that, but this has been going on since 2001.
Oh wow!
The Common Council wanted to amend the city's original flag design. Nothing happened until 2016. The people's flag was entered in a design contest and ultimately won, but it was not made official. Mm-hmm. In 2018, the Common Council and the Milwaukee Arts Board worked together to come up with a new flag, but it was determined it was not inclusive enough. So again, we're still working on it. People's flag. The task force now will include 3 members appointed by the mayor.
Can I stop you right there? The task force?
The task force. The flag task force will include 3 members appointed by the mayor, 3 appointed by the Common Council president, 3 appointed by the chair of the Milwaukee Arts Board. Okay. The people's flag design should be resubmitted, but they also want new proposals. After narrowing down 10 finalist flags, the Common Council says it will vote on recommendations by December 31st of this year. So let's see how long this takes.
Is there anything in that story about a just putting it to the entirety of the people saying like, hey, the people of Milwaukee, come vote? Or is this the task force is going to, like, I know there's going to be discussions and whatnot, but really when it comes down to the flag and the flag design, I feel like the people of Milwaukee, one, should have a voice because if it's the people's flag.
Right.
But also just need more time. Like, we're talking about July, which means it'll probably get started in August, maybe.
It better get going.
That's August, September, October, November, 4 months. I don't know. To me, for one thing, this doesn't need to happen. This is a committee or a commission or a task force.
I know.
Is this crime? Is this like, we need to get this done now?
To fix concerns about the inclusivity in the process of selecting a flag, the task force would allow submissions to be made both online and in person.
I'm just putting it out right now to John Oliver, because when it comes to flags, you love this sort of thing. And if you could help either shut it all down or make it the funniest thing ever, please do so. I just feel like this is not...
Can send that into last week tonight?
Yeah, absolutely. I just don't feel like... And I haven't lived in Milwaukee for a few years, but I know that in my time there, one of the things that really concerned me was never the flag.
Yeah, I don't hear that coming up in a lot of, you know, our neighborhood discussions about what's the number one concern facing residents of Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Flag rarely comes up.
No.
Rarely.
No. No, not at
all. Maybe it'll come up more now.
Housing. That's something we could talk about.
But there's a task force, you guys.
Oh, my gosh.
They're on it.
That's on someone's resume now.
They're on it.
Yeah, I'm sure I'm going to have detractors and people who are not happy with my opinion on this matter. But hey, if you live in Milwaukee and you have strong feelings about the flag, I want you to pick up your device right now and I want you to text us through the Civic Media app. If you don't have the app, go to the Apple or Google Play Store to get it on your phone right now. It's absolutely free. It's customizable. And that way you can send your opinion straight to us on how you feel about a new flag and its importance to the progress of the city. But I'm not wrong, correct? When you bring in a task force, it feels like this is a pressing problem that needs to be solved immediately. I don't know. Maybe I'm just a curmudgeon about it. Let us know. Text us through the Civic Media app today. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, I'm Greg Bach. I will talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 8:29. Real news, great conversation from Milwaukee and beyond. 540 WAUK.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For 540 WAUK News, I'm Shali Pittman. Racine police are still investigating a homicide they say started as a burglary late last Friday. Two men were shot, one is dead, one suspect has been interviewed. Police are asking anyone with information to contact them or leave an anonymous tip through Crime Stoppers. Gun violence in Racine is trending down by about 80% compared to roughly this time last year. That's according to an analysis from the Racine County Eye. Today is a campaign finance deadline. Reports covering fundraising for the first half of the year are due, and the numbers are rolling in. Incumbent Justice Rebecca Bradley, a conservative, reported no fundraising activity as of the end of June. The next state Supreme Court election is just 38 weeks away. Appeals Court judge and former state lawmaker Chris Taylor has raised more than $500,000. Wisconsin's been shattering spending records for state Supreme Court races lately. More than $100 million poured into the high court race between Susan Crawford and Brad Schimmel this spring. And more in political money. The race for governor is still more than a year away. Whitefish Bay Republican Bill Berrien is moving fast. Less than a week after announcing his campaign, he's booked about $400,000 in ads on radio, TV, and online. The former Navy SEAL and manufacturing executive faces Washington County Executive Josh Shulman in the Republican primary. Governor Evers has not yet said if he'll run for a third term. And that's news on 540 WAUK. I'm Shali Pittman. News at the top and bottom of the hour, or news anytime at WAUK.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The summer box office remains financially healthy thanks to The Man of Steel. Superman was the top dog to no one's surprise, pulling in $122 million domestically over the weekend and almost another $100 million from overseas. Here at home, that's the third biggest opening of the year. The news was good for DC Comics as director James Gunn is also the co-head of the whole operation, so they needed this to be a winner. Rounding out the top five were all big-time blockbuster-esque films. Jurassic World Rebirth was the top dog last week and came in second place with $40 million big ones. In its third week of release, F1 delivered $13 million at the box office. And rounding out the fourth and fifth place were kid flicks How to Train Your Dragon, which came in with close to $8 million, and Pixar's Elio, which came in with just under $4 million. Superman is expected to top the charts again next week, as there will be no real competition until the Fantastic Four, First Steps, hits the big screen July 25th. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
It is going to be sunny and humid today. Our high in the mid-80s this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We'll drop to around 71. And then tomorrow, a mix of clouds and sun with scattered showers and thunderstorms tomorrow. And tomorrow night, our high tomorrow in the low 80s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 69.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I came walking in here just a moment ago, and there was a young lady sitting here with a chicken.
It's fantastic. On the table. Kaylee High from Staley Boyd High School. What's the line of bird?
So this breed, is breed. Sue. She's a Dominique, and she's 6 years old.
Is Sue here? Does she lay eggs?
She did used to. She's too old.
So chickens go through menopause?
Yes.
Or...
Yeah,
really?
Much. Yeah, basically.
It's a postmenopausal chicken. My sisters can relate.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Jay, Matt, and Aaron, Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Wisconsin is going to be doing things to welcome more movie making here. Nathan Demming joins us. Don't miss it.
Matt and Aaron on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Dan Schaefer is moments away. First, a little bit of housekeeping. I hate when I do this, when I say I'm going to talk about something and then I forget to get to it in the next segment. And I realized that in talking about our question of the week, and it was about the Democratic Party, and the options from our Sunday newsletter were A, it's good that the party appears to be drifting to the left. It's more honest. B was, nope, the Democrats are a big tent party. They can have people with progressive values from throughout the spectrum. Option C was, nope, the far left is going to drag down the Democratic Party, and we need to stop this. And I said that there was an option D. As I'm looking back at the answers, there were a couple of people. Option D was, I'm Republican. I'm just here with a box of popcorn to watch the fighting amongst Democrats about whether Zoran Mondani is, you know, something that's good or bad for the party, along with AOC and Bernie Sanders and others. So, again, if you want to answer that question of the week, sign up for our Sunday newsletter or send us a note, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. Dan Schaefer, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mr. Kreitlow. Thanks so much for having me. Always a treat to join you here on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is always great to have you here. Thank you for that. Let's start with one story I haven't mentioned yet, and I'm going to explain why, and I want to know if you have any input on it. And it's because it's a rather an alarming headline. Laura Schulte put it out on the Journal Sentinel website. Lack of funding in the state budget will shutter two facilities for homeless veterans, including one here in Chippewa Falls. And the story says because Republicans in the legislature didn't include funding for them in the budget signed earlier this month. Governor Evers, I know, put out a press release yesterday blasting Republicans for not funding the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program. And as a result, these facilities are looking to be closed, I believe, sometime in September was what the article said. And I know it notes that the co-chairs of the Joint Finance Committee, Mark Bourne of Beaver Dam and Howard Markline of Spring Green, did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I just haven't popped off on it because it just sounds, I don't want to say it sounds one-sided, but I was waiting to see any kind of Republican reaction that says, oh, no, we're going to fund these things. Because, I mean, if you take this story at face value, Dan, and homeless veterans are going to be kicked out because Republicans wouldn't fund what Governor Evers wanted in the budget, that is amazingly damning to Republicans if that is the full story.
Well, and the thing is that it doesn't seem like a huge line item to be able to fund with the state budget like this. The story you referenced from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel says Evers included $1.9 million for the Veterans Housing and Recovery Program in his proposed budget, which was cut by Republicans. So you'd think somehow we'd be able to find that funding, but also why are we cutting this to begin with?
It's very bizarre. I think it's one of those cases where, again, they brought Evers' funding request down to zero just because.
Just because it wasn't anything Evers was proposing,
right.
I guess.
And then they went back to some of them, and we've talked about this a little bit earlier with childcare and other things, and they did put some money back in after they took it to zero. And I almost, again, I'm speculating, almost think that some Republicans are looking at this story and going, oh, crap, we forgot to put money back into that one, you know? Tony puts up on YouTube, don't you remember what Kristen Lilley said yesterday? Farmers and veterans only get lip service, not real action. That's reserved for rich donors. And again, if that's the case, that's terrible. I do have one solution, however, and allow me to pontificate for a moment here. This veteran's home in Chippewa Falls got done in large part, 95%, because of former state Senator Dave Zien, and about 5% from former Senator Pat Kreitlow, who was in office when the project got over the finish line. Dave Zien's gotten the lion's share of the credit. He deserves it. He's still out there being very active. And one of his pet causes was homeless veterans. So if anybody can give his fellow Republicans a wake-up call and say, what are you doing here? You got to fund this thing. It would be former State Senator Dave Zeen. So Dave, if you're listening or anybody that knows Dave, look, if this is a real story, you guys got to jump on this right now. And I'm sure Governor Evers would sign that bill in a heartbeat if you pass it. Again, Dan, assuming it's just some kind of an oversight, which in a big complex budget can happen, I guess.
I guess so. And perhaps this is something that, you know, it was such a rushed process at the end of the budget, right? Maybe all parties involved somehow missed this piece of it as well, because this seems like the type of thing that, you know, if Evers was saying, hey, we need to fund this project, these need to stay open. You know, Evers has been going around kind of celebrating his budget for the last couple of weeks and doing some events statewide and touting it. And, you know, to come back and also say like, oh, yeah, here's this thing that the legislature didn't do. He also didn't sign it in the budget either. So it maybe there's, you know, maybe there's some mistakes on all fronts and this could get remedied quickly, because it really sure seems like it should be.
Especially when it comes to something this rushed. We'll get to Governor Evers and the governor's race in a sec, but there's one other news story that we haven't talked about, and it's about Justice Rebecca Bradley, the far-right justice whose term is up next year, and people expect that she would announce for re-election, and it would be a big race against, theoretically, right now, appeals court judge Chris Taylor, a former Democratic legislator. The story is that Rebecca Bradley reported raising no campaign cash in the last reporting period, which immediately people started saying, oh, does this mean she's not going to run for re-election? No, it doesn't mean that at all, in my estimation, because this is not the first time that she has reported raising next to nothing. And it's a 10-year term, Dan. So, you know, it's not the world's biggest surprise, but it is a surprise.
Yeah, it is a surprise. I think, you know, I was talking to some people in various political circles over the last couple of weeks, and people were looking ahead to this announcement, to this filing deadline for Rebecca Bradley, to see kind of what her plans were. You know, it was the announcement last week that Chris Taylor had raised more than $580,000 in this same reporting period, breaking Susan Crawford's record from the equivalent time period a year ago. And so I think some people were wondering, well, is Rebecca Bradley, like, it seems like if she's running again, she would at least have the lights on her website or whatever it might be to be able to take donations. You know, with how many people, I mean, the last Supreme Court race in Wisconsin got more than $100 million. You think she'd be able to raise something if she was going, even if she wasn't actively campaigning? I saw some reporting out there that she, you know, wanted to make a decision after Labor Day or whatever it might be. Even if she's not actively campaigning, if she's at all thinking about running again, you'd think she'd be able to receive some donations in any capacity. And I know there was a report from right-wing radio talker Mark Belling, who put something out a few weeks ago saying he did not think that Rebecca Bradley was going to be running for re-election. You know, perhaps he's right on this, because it sure doesn't, based on the filing, and I took a look at that yesterday after I saw some of the reports, the filing, based on that, it does not seem like she's running again.
It certainly wouldn't on its surface. Now, I would caution people that from Donald Trump to Ron Johnson and others, there is this new Republican outlook that, again, the campaign rules don't mean anything anymore. And that, again, entities, political action committees not associated with the campaign directly, are essentially the cavalry, and they ride to the rescue. And perhaps that's what Rebecca Bradley is thinking as well, is that, hey, when it's time, when it's game on, there will be plenty of money from, you know, the Diane Hendricks and the Ulines and, you know, all those others to come in. Maybe that's what she's thinking. But I would also note this as well. Part of the reason you should be raising campaign donations anyway is that even if you don't run for re-election, you now have amassed something that you can then transfer to either a political action committee and, you know, be a donor yourself of causes you believe in, or you can donate it to charity or anything like that. And I'm not saying campaign donations are, you know, supposed to be an act of benevolence, but there's reasons why, Dan, you wouldn't want to raise $0. That's still money that you can put to work in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, and again, it's just, you know, if she were in the mix at all for this, right? If you would think that she would have something, like it wouldn't be, the number wouldn't be zero.
Yeah.
The fact that the number is zero does seem to suggest she might not be running for re-election. And certainly she is at quite a disadvantage. If she were running for re-election, she'd be at quite a disadvantage against Taylor, who has quite a bit of money in the bank right now for her election campaign. So,
yeah.
You know, I think there is a big picture. There's a real chance, even if Bradley does run, I wouldn't exactly put her as the favorite in this race. She's been the most far right member of the Wisconsin Supreme Court. She's the remarks that she makes in some of these rulings are out of this world. And so I do think she would not necessarily be a favorite to win again if she were to seek another 10-year term. I think part of the reason she won in the first place was that she ran during the 2016 primary, which at the time, Wisconsin was really very much in the spotlight for the 2016 presidential primary when Donald Trump was running. And Donald Trump did not win in Wisconsin in that election, but it brought a lot of people to the polls. And that's the time that she won.
We're talking to Dan Schaefer, political editor for Civic Media and founder of the Recombobulation Area. Let's turn to the governor's race for a sec. We're still on Evers' watch in terms of, you know, a third term or not. So let's go with the things that we do know. Earlier in the show, we played our interview from last Friday with Washington County Executive Josh Shulman, who is one of the two announced Republican candidates for governor. I know you were listening into that interview. It was short, but for what you could hear from Josh Shulman, what were your impressions?
Yeah, I thought it was an interesting conversation. I thought it was great that you guys found him there at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair. That seemed like a fun small Wisconsin type of meetup there. But you know, one comment he made did stick out to me that I thought was interesting. You know, he noted that about the budget negotiations. You guys brought up the budget. He noted that, you know, in those negotiations, Democratic minority leader in the assembly, Greta Neubauer, had mentioned she was not part of the budget negotiations. And I thought it was interesting that Shulman said, hey, she wasn't part of these negotiations. You know, if I were governor, I'd want all parties involved to be part of these budget negotiations. I thought that was an interesting kind of in the weeds ish type of remark, where it's not just, you know, a campaign platitude. I grew up here. This is my job. All of those different things. And, you know, actually remarking on something in recent state government that I thought was, certainly something that we've talked about about the negotiations that went into the final phase of the budget there. But I thought that was a pretty interesting remark.
And look, that remark itself may be a platitude. It could be that he becomes governor, invites her to the table, and, you know, then does absolutely nothing with it. But as a candidate, that is absolutely a little thing to take advantage of. And then we have the other announced Republican candidate, Bill Berrien, who's announced a big six-figure buy of TV commercials for the governor's race next year. For commercials that are going to air now, that is crazy to me, but I guess that's, if you've never held political office, I guess that's how you build name ID, Dan.
You got to get yourself out there if you're the quote-unquote political outsider in the race, right? So he has, you know, billed himself as such in his initial introductory video and press release and all of that. And I think the big thing here in this race, and I think in Republican politics more broadly, but certainly in this race, I think the big thing is the Trump endorsement. So if if he's going to get himself on TV and make himself out there and over again in that introductory video, you know, we'll have to see what the TV spots look like. But in the introductory video, he's saying, certainly trying to tie himself as closely as he can to Donald Trump.
Absolutely taking the what he hopes is the Tony Weed path to a Trump endorsement. Mm-hmm. Local update is next for some of you. Others will come back here for some final news and notes from Lake Wissota, along with Dan Schaefer. Again, you can follow my team all day at UpNorthNewsWI.com. And, of course, right here mornings on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Today's job market is full of demand for skilled trade workers. Electricians, welders, mechanics, these and other trades are the backbone of every community. They're also a huge part in making sure the Army National Guard is always fulfilling its mission of service to our country and communities. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and supplies moving. The skilled trades these soldiers perform are the same ones needed in today's civilian workforce. Army National Guard soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. With options from plumber to helicopter mechanic and everything in between, soldiers are able to select the trades that best fit their lives. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession and serve your community and country by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
Milwaukee film critic Mr. Matt Miller. I know you saw this. I saw 28 Years Later as well. I really liked it. My wife loved it. And we're not really horror people, but just something that grabbed. It's just great storytelling.
It is simultaneously what you would want from a zombie movie and something completely different. It's just a really fascinating movie and one I hope people keep checking out.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Matt Nair on air.
Author of America, Let Me In, Felipe Torres Medina is here.
My funny book about immigration. You can see how the current administration and their policies are affecting the communities. But I'm a comedian. It is really sad, but how about some jokes? Because that's the only way I can, you know.
If we don't take a moment to laugh about something, we're all going to self-destruct.
100%.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. I'm Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. I've been talking about it a lot, and I'm not going to stop, and that's all the things that you can do in Racine this summer. And one of the highlights, one of the gems in Racine, is the zoo. It's not just a place where you and your family can go check out some animals from all over the world. It's also a venue that has amazing events. And to talk about everything going on, Don Rosen invited Executive Director Beth Heindorn to the show to talk about everything that you could come to expect during the summer.
And it's all happening at the zoo. A lot of stuff happening at the zoo. Beth Heindorn, Executive Director of the Racine Zoo, is here. And I'm looking at July. It's a whole page.
We have a lot going on in July.
And I was going to ask you this on some of the things. How do the animals deal with the heat?
Well, many of them are from areas that it's warm like that. And we also have, the animals always have fresh water. And we have a lot of misters going on.
It's more the staff
than that have an issue with the heat than the animals.
The other day, my neighbor is watering her flowers out in front, and she has a video of it, and the rabbit came in under the hose, closed its eyes, and just let the hose mist the rabbit, and he just had his eyes closed, and he was just letting the water just hit him and cool him down. It's on a real hot day, and it was... I like the way he walked right in front of the hose and just stayed there until she got done. And then he opened his eyes and walked up, and now he's soaking wet and he felt good.
But he felt good, right? He cooled off. You got it.
Let's talk about the month of July. Today's the 10th, so we missed the first one. Animal
Crackers. But it was we had a great night last night. The weather was beautiful.
Yes, it
the
was.
Bean and the Vagabonds,
it was nice
were
and
fabulous.
Breezy, yeah.
Yeah, we had a great crowd. It was just good energy and kind of that old home week feel where everyone's out of their cocoons and coming out to the zoo and the hanging cocoons. Out for Animal Crackers. So it was a great night. We appreciate all of our guests that were there.
I'm going back into my cocoon. All right. cocoon. This coming Saturday, early in the morning, it's Breakfast with the Giraffes. Now, do the giraffes serve the breakfast, eat the breakfast with you, or watch you eat? How does this work?
It is just it's just a wonderful breakfast. That is sold out, so those tickets go early, and they were sold out in March. So just because it's on our website doesn't mean the tickets are available. Sorry about that, folks.
Well, same thing with the Racine Theater Guild. They had in earlier, and just because you see it on their schedule doesn't mean they're going to be tickets available.
That's correct. You got to book early. Looking at next week. So.
So how does this work, Breakfast with the Giraffes?
So we have breakfast up in the pavilion, and the kids get crafts. They have a fabulous breakfast from some folks called Labor Only Catering, and they come and do a fabulous job, and it's just a really nice way to do it, and then you just get an animal presentation, and that particular one happens to be about giraffes.
How long does it take that food to go down that neck?
You are so odd, Doug.
Well, you know, you look at the animals. I'm just a very curious person. You see them eat the leaves off trees because they can reach them. And then how long does it take to get down that gullet right to the belly?
I don't know. I've never timed it.
All right, I saw a baby giraffe being born the other day on YouTube. Somebody put it on there. Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
And their legs are like laying out there just to get up on those legs. Whoa, it was really fun to watch.
Pretty cool. Neat babies.
Wednesday, July 16th, it's World Roar Wine Pour Wednesday. That's a tongue twister.
That is correct. It is from 6 to 8. Red Onion does our hand-passed appetizers, and there'll be 6 different wines people can taste and 5 to 6 different beers people can taste. And it's just a really great opportunity to support the zoo for those beer lovers and wine lovers. We've been doing those for 10 years, so it's a really fun activity.
Where does it take place?
It depends on, we move it around the zoo. We move it around the zoo. So I believe the one next Wednesday is down by our penguin area. We separate them and move them out. So we want people to see all parts of the zoo while they're enjoying some cocktails and some food.
Now, I will tell you right now, I'll bring it up on my phone here because I don't know why I keep it on here, but I do. And currently the temperature in Antarctica is, just so I'm not making it up, it's the center one there. What is it?
Minus 70.
Minus 70.
I don't have penguins that live in the Antarctica.
Well, my question is,
South Africa.
Well, a little warmer there. But they do have penguins that walk around in Antarctica. Yeah. And that, I mean, I don't know how their body, I know, but they're little birds. I mean, they're not big. Their skin can't be that thick. But 70 below, and that's not the wind chill. And they're walking around like they're just having another day of it.
Animals like minus humans 70. Get adapted to where they live.
Man, I never understood that. You see them on the National Geo shows just walking around.
Yeah.
It's currently 120 below zero, but the penguins are having a good time today.
I know. Nature is fascinating.
All right. On Thursday, the next day, July 17th, from 5 to 10 p.m., it's Cigar Dinner.
Yes. This is our 30th annual Cigar Dinner.
30th.
We have a lot of tried and true events at the zoo. So it is from 5 to 10, and it's going to be fabulous. So you get 5 cigars. We have Christoph Cigars that are our sponsors this year. And then it's a wonderful meal, a gourmet meal. There's silent auction, live auction, camaraderie with those folks that like to smoke cigars and hang out on Lake Michigan. And we also have a cigar roller coming in. So everyone who participates in that will get their own hand-rolled cigar. That will be done right on the spot, and they'll be able to take that with them. And it's just really going to be a great 30th anniversary. Come on. You got to love it.
That is just a taste of what you can see at the zoo this summer, and you're going to want to go to racinezoo.org for more information. Make a plan. Take family. Take friends. And if you go, Why don't you go ahead and take pictures, and you can text them to us here at Civic Media by getting the Civic Media app on your device. Go to the Apple or Google Play Store and download the app directly to your phone or tablet, and that way you can stay in touch with us. You can call, text, leave a voice note. You can also listen to your favorite shows directly through the app. So yeah, get that app in your life. Get it on your device. It's free. It's customizable. You won't regret it. And that is my mission for you this morning. You've been listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. You have a wonderful Tuesday. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is 540 WAUK Jackson, Milwaukee's real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
CBS News Brief. President Trump's tariffs are starting to bite. Business analyst Jill Schlesinger on the Labor Department's new numbers on consumer prices.
Year over year, proteins like meat, poultry, fish, and eggs, those prices are up by 5.6%.
Overall, consumer prices rose 2.7% in June from a year earlier. Russia responding to the president's threat to slap 100% tariffs on countries that buy Russian oil if Vladimir Putin doesn't reach a ceasefire with Ukraine soon. CBS's Ed O'Keefe.
Overnight, the former Russian president Dmitry Medvedev responded to Trump's plans, calling them a theatrical ultimatum to the Kremlin. Russia didn't care.
There's outcry over a fire raging in the Grand Canyon. CBS's Ian Lee from northern Arizona.
Arizona's Democratic governor is calling for an investigation into why the federal government decided to manage one of those fires, the Dragon Bravo fire, as a controlled burn when it first broke out.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.